book of Matthew once again to chapter 5. Back again to the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we want to consider the verses beginning of verse 33. Again, it's another contrast that the Lord Jesus is bringing to the attention of the crowd that's gathered. Contrast between what they have heard and have been told and what the gospel actually says and means. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswerve thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we ask for help and grace as we come to consider the Word of God again this morning. And may the truth that our Saviour spoke and taught be brought to our hearts with great power. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And may we truly be instructed in the things of Christ this day. We ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. For we are to let our yes be yes and our no to mean no. So this morning we want to consider the subject of honesty and integrity. I heard a story of a policeman who pulled over a driver for speeding. He walked up to the window and said to the driver, "May I see your license, please?" The driver responded, "I don't have a license. It was suspended the last time I was caught drink driving." The officer looked at him and, "Well, can I see the registration for this vehicle?" He says, "I'm sorry, but this isn't my car. I stole it." And the officer, somewhat surprised, and said, "So the car's stolen?" He said, that's right. "But come to think of it, I may have seen the registration in the glove compartment when I was putting my gun in there." "There's a gun in the glove box," said the officer. "Yes, that's where I put it after I shot and killed the woman who owned the car, and I stuffed her into the trunk." "There's a body in the trunk?" "Yes, sir." The police officer said, "Sir, I want you to stay in the car and don't move." He took a step back and he got on his radio and he called for help. And within a few moments, the car was surrounded by numerous police vehicles, one of them being the captain. The captain approached the scene and said to the driver, "Sir, can I see your license?" And he said, "Sure, here it is." He says, "Well, whose car is this?" He says, "It's my car. Here's the registration." Then the captain asked him to open up the glove compartment so that he could see the gun that was in it. The glove compartment was empty. And finally, the captain asked him to get out of the car, open the trunk. And of course, when they looked inside, there was no body there. And the captain said to the driver, "I don't understand. My officer said that you told him that you don't have a license, that you'd stolen the car, you had a gun in the glove box and a dead body in the trunk." "Did he indeed? And I suppose he told you I was speeding too." Truthfulness can be tossed out the window so easily sometimes. We talk about businesses cooking the books, and politicians spin their political strategies. Media outlets are accused of reporting fake news, or at least presenting it with a very biased agenda, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to distinguish the truth from falsehood. Well, the Lord Jesus deals with this entire problem of lying and cheating and fraud and deception as only he could. He said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Say what you mean and mean what you say. As I said, we have a real problem with lies in our society today. Now you already know the punchline to this one, how you can tell if a politician is lying. Their lips are moving. And that's an old joke, but it's based upon observational experience. One last one before we move on. The story is told of a man who was walking through a cemetery and he came across a tombstone. And they said, here lies an honest man and a lawyer. And he thought to himself, well, how about that, two men buried in the same plot? You see, it's our nature to lie and to cheat and deceive and to spin the truth and to shade it over. And it affects how we live and how we deal with one another. Even young people here can understand that copying other people's work off the internet is such a huge problem in schools and universities today that every paper that's submitted has to be put through what they call a plagiarism checker. And it can identify with great accuracy, yes, this paragraph has been lifted from this website and this paragraph has been taken from that book. Every paper has to be checked. We've grown accustomed to people in the business world or the sports world breaking contracts. It's another form of lying. We don't really believe the car salesman when he says, this is my best price. And we've all come across people that we've heard described as being a born liar. Well, the fact of the matter is we're all born liars. Psalm 58 and verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And parents here know that you don't have to teach your children to tell lies. You have to teach them to tell the truth. And so we need to learn to make sure that the words that pass through our mouth are guarded with honesty and integrity. And this is where those who belong to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be different from the world around them. Telling the truth should be an essential part of our lives. It should be who we are and what we do. It's one of the marks of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a truthfulness about us, about the things that we do and the things that we say. The gospel truly changes our lives. We are a new creation in Christ. The old ways are to be put away, done away with. So what can we see in this passage that we can benefit from this morning? Well, verse 33 again. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. And so the Savior is saying, do not be dishonest in the things that you say. And he's speaking specifically of the matter of oaths. When someone would swear, in effect, they were taking an oath to verify their truthfulness. And that's the reason why you would take an oath, to guarantee that what you're saying is true. Now, we live in a time and in a country when oaths are taken, I'm going to say every day, politicians take oaths of office. When people get married, they swap their vows with one another. I take thee to be my lawful wedded wife, and do in the presence of God and before this congregation promise and covenant to keep and love and cherish, forsaking all others, until God shall separate us by death, keeping faith and truth in all things according to the word of God. That's an oath, a promise made before God. Every day people go into a courtroom and take their place in the witness stand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's an oath. So an oath is a vow or a promise that's made to add weight to our statement. So you might say to someone, I promise I'll call you on Friday. Now, we could just have said, I'll call you on Friday. But we've added an oath to it. I promise I will do this. And we're making a vow. And that vow should be binding upon our word, that if we have vowed to do it, then we should do it. And that's the idea behind what the Savior's talking about. We shouldn't have to vow to give an assurance that we're speaking the truth. We should always speak the truth. And so he says in verse 33, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now what does forswear mean? It means to commit perjury. It's the idea of swearing falsely, of not keeping a vow or failing to keep that promise that you made. Now, to put it quite simply, the Lord Jesus is talking about lying. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 12 and 22 that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. The Lord delights in truth. You know, that's one of the names of our Savior, the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord delights in truth, but he's greatly displeased with lying. In Proverbs chapter 6, we're told of six things that God hates, and one of them is a lying tongue. And what the Savior's pointing out to us here in this verse is that taking an oath, making a promise, giving a vow, doesn't keep you from perjury. It makes you liable if you commit perjury. See, taking an oath doesn't guarantee that you're going to do what you said you would do. And the Pharisees felt that an oath had to be taken before God in order for it to be kept. In other words, if you swore something was true by God himself, then you totally and absolutely had to be completely honest if you gave a divine oath. If you said, I swear to God, I'll do this, then you had to do it. Of course, if it wasn't a divine oath, then all bets were off. And what you said didn't really matter. It didn't count. And the Savior points out the problem with that. And here it is. If a person has to swear to you that they're telling the truth, that means that they must normally lie. And that normally you can't trust anything that they say. If it has to be backed up with a solemn oath before God, then what are they saying the rest of the time? A person who always tells the truth doesn't have to use God's name to prove it. His own name should be enough. There was a time that they used to say that a man's word was his bond. That dates back to the early trading days of the stock exchange, when bonds were being moved around between people. Well, when you agreed to something, you did it. A man's word was his bond. You see, if you're known to people as a person of honesty and a person of integrity, you don't need to swear or to make oaths, because people know that you can be relied upon to tell the truth. I think perhaps one of the worst things that can be said about someone is, you couldn't believe a word they said. You couldn't believe them. So the Lord Jesus warns us about making false oaths, making promises that we have no intention to keep. Oh yeah, yeah, I'll call you later in the week. And you never call them because you never really intended to. The Lord Jesus said rather in verse 33... rather than forswearing or committing perjury, you're to perform unto the Lord thine oaths. If you promise something, keep that promise. Be faithful to your word. Now the Bible speaks clearly about keeping our vows. Numbers 32 in verse 2 says, "If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth." Deuteronomy 23 in verse 21, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord will surely require it of thee." Ecclesiastes 5 and 4, "When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." Our vows to God are to be taken especially seriously. So if you have ever promised God that you would do something, he holds you to that promise. He holds you to it. Sometimes we forget about them after a few days. Maybe we make all kinds of promises to God when things are going wrong. And we pray, "Lord, if you'll deal with this situation, then I'll do this." We haven't. We haven't kept our word. We haven't been faithful. If we promise God something, he expects us to keep that promise. "Deliver my soul," the psalmist said, "from lying lips and deceitful tongues." And I think he has in mind his own there. We should take great care to speak the truth. Sometimes we come across people who like to refer to themselves as being brutally honest. But it's not about truth with them. I think the brutal part of it is probably more of it than the truthful part of it. We need to be truthful. We need to keep our word. We need to mean what we say when we speak to the Lord. Do not be dishonest. Don't purge yourself before God. Don't be dishonest with what you say. And don't be deceptive in what you say. You see, as I mentioned, the Jews divided oaths into two classes: those you had to keep and those you didn't. If you made a vow or an oath that contained God's name, you had to keep it. But if you made an oath on some other thing, then you didn't have to keep it. You could try and find a loophole or a way to get out of it. You didn't have to mean it at all. Little kids know all about that. Used to be a trick that you do when we wanted to tell a lie and get away with it. We'd make a promise and cross our fingers behind our back as if that somehow negated the promise that we made. Our crossed fingers meant that what we said didn't have to be carried out. Well, this is how the Jews tried to get around it. This was their way of crossing their fingers. Instead of making a vow by God's name, they'd swear by heaven, or they'd swear by the earth, or they'd swear by Jerusalem, or they'd swear by the walls of Jerusalem, or they'd swear by the temple, or the gold of the temple, or they'd swear by the altar, or the offering on the altar. And as if those promises were not liable to perjury, a loophole for speaking the truth, and another way of being dishonest and deceptive. The problem is, the Savior says, they're not getting out of their obligations just by imagining a loophole in this form of making vows and oaths. The reason for that, the Savior said, that if you swear by the heavens, you're swearing by God's throne. You swear by the earth, that's his footstool. You swear by Jerusalem, that's his city. Even if you swear by your head and the hairs upon it, it's God who put them there and knows every single one of them by number. And count them all. But the Savior is saying that every vow is sacred whenever you make it. There's no putting cross fingers behind your back to get out of what you've promised. Every vow that we make, every promise that we give is made before God. He will hold us accountable for it. We have a thing today that we call a little white lie. A little white lie. This is a way of putting a bit of spin on something and saying something that we don't really mean, but we hope to get away with. I think the little white lie probably would win first prize for the most frequently occurring verbal sin that there is. And that's what the Savior's dealing with here. Not just being dishonest, but being deceptive. Not really meaning what you say, hoping to get out of it down the line by twisting what you've said, by finding a loophole, by some other means. Don't be dishonest. And don't be deceptive. Rather, be dependable in what you say. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What the Savior is talking about here is a radical honesty. Let me tell you what honesty is. Honesty is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. And when you say it, you will do it. That your word is your bond. And that's why if your word is good and truthful, you don't have to swear and take oaths and make promises. And if your word is no good, then it doesn't matter if you swear, because no one will believe you anyway. Let your yes mean yes, let your no mean no. In other words, tell the truth. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, in truthfulness, he's saying. He's saying that everything that he said was true. There was no embellishing of the truth. There was no exaggeration. There's no falsehood. The Savior said that your yea be yea, that your nay be nay, and whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, throughout this whole section, the Savior has been dealing with the matter of showing us what's really at our heart. And that what's at the heart is really what's important. And so in verse 37, lying reveals a sinful heart. Lying comes from an evil heart. So what the Savior is talking about is more than just honest words. The things that come out of our mouths and from our lips. He's speaking about an honest life. Integrity. There's a difference between honesty and integrity. Honesty is saying what you have done, and integrity is saying what you will do and then going and doing it. That people can depend upon you. That what they see is what they will get. That what you have said is what you will do. That you can be depended upon. You have an honesty about what you say, and there's an integrity about your life. There's a truthfulness. The word integrity comes from the Latin word that means to be whole or to be complete. There's no defect within us. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 10 said that we should be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, we've pointed this out before when we're going through the book of Romans, but the word sincere comes from the Latin word that means without wax. And it's in reference to a very fine porcelain that was greatly valued and therefore very expensive. But because it was so fine that when it was fired in the furnace, it was possible for tiny cracks to appear. And dishonest merchants would take a pearly white wax and they would rub it over the cracks and hope to cover the cracks so that they couldn't be seen by the natural eye. And that their product would pass as being a true porcelain item. And so what the buyer would do, that he would hold the porcelain up to the light. And as the light would shine through the very fine porcelain, the cracks would become apparent. And so honest merchants would mark their flawless portion with the word sinisera, without wax. So in other words, when your life and your testimony and your integrity and your words are held up to the light of the holiness of God, may they be sincere. May they be without wax. May there not be a covering over of the cracks and the faults. May our yea be yea and our nay, nay. Even as little children, we learned about giving vows. I'm not sure what it was here. But back in Northern Ireland, it was cross my heart and hope to die and stick my finger in my eye. The more extreme version called for a needle instead of a finger. And if we wanted to elevate it to the next level, we would swear on our mother's graves. Why not just let your yes mean yes and your no mean no? The Savior's urging us to be men and women of integrity, and to prove that all of this swearing and oath-taking and promises is not necessary, because we are men and women of our word. In our current society, when we entered into an agreement with someone, we want it in writing. We want solicitors to verify it. We want the stamp of approval upon it. And we want conditions put in it so that if someone breaks that contract, that there are ramifications for it. Because that's the only way that we can be sure that someone will uphold their end of the bargain. That is, if they're compelled to do so by the law. It doesn't seem to be a motivation for being honest. It's more of a motivation for being dishonest. But it ought not to be the character of the Christian. We should be good to our word. There are benefits, of course, to telling the truth. If we tell the truth, then we avoid having to live with the guilt of having told a lie. Because telling lies makes it impossible for us to live with a clear conscience before God. We know that we've been deceived. And guilt can be a powerful emotion. It can dog our steps and haunt us down when we know that we have not been truthful. And of course, if we lie and cheat and deceive and are being dishonest, we live with the very real possibility that someday that deception is going to be discovered. Telling the truth, of course, is by far the best policy. It keeps us out of trouble. It keeps us out of that vicious cycle where you find that one lie needs to be covered up with another lie and with a greater lie. And it becomes a vicious cycle, one lie leading to another, and to another, and to another, until finally it's hard to keep track of all of the lies that you've told. And the lies just keep getting bigger to cover all of the deceit. I forget who it was that said that when you're telling the truth, it's far better for you, because you have nothing to remember apart from the truth. But when you tell lies, you have to remember every lie that you told and to every person you told it. Telling the truth is by far the better way to go. It keeps you from ruining relationships. It will instead produce a faithfulness and a trust between people. If you tell the truth all of the time, then you can be believed all of the time. If you only tell the truth some of the time, then you can't be believed any of the time. Make a conscious effort to tell the truth. Don't make promises that you've no intention of keeping. When people ask you a question, answer them truthfully instead of just telling them what you think that they want to hear. Let us be men and women of our word in little things as well as great things. And if we continue to tell the truth in all things, letting our yea be yea and our nay be nay, then after a while we will have that reputation of being a person of integrity, a person who can be trusted. In other words, they will see the Lord Jesus Christ in you. He who is truth, the very embodiment of truth, will be seen in you. And that means then when you go to share the gospel with others, it will be believed because you are a believable person. Your word will be taken as gospel because you're known as a person of integrity. So I trust that we will endeavor with the Savior's help to be men and women of truth and integrity. Our yea being yea and our nay being nay, for the glory of his great name. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray thy blessing upon the word as we've considered it today. And as so often is the case, we have found the spotlight of heaven searching out our darkened hearts and exposing to us the corruption and the sin that's found within. How quick we are to deceive with our lips, to speak untruths and falsehoods, to be dishonest and deceptive. We pray, our Father, that we may put aside and away those lying lips, and to speak the truth in Christ and to lie not, and to be those who are known for their honesty and integrity before the Lord. So then when it comes to the opportunity to speak the gospel, that it will be heard and listened to because of the very truthfulness of Christ of whom we speak. Father, bless thy word to our hearts now, we pray. We ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen.